So a lot of us don't fully step into being ourselves because it is very, very uncomfortable in the short term. And that short term can be many, many years. And so it's really about embracing that, because by being your true self, it not only leads to the most happiness for you, but it also leads to happiness for those around you.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.
Welcome back to the Super You Podcast, the podcast designed to unlock and unleash your superpower. I'm Jake with Equalman Studios. In today's episode, we have Brandon Fink. Brandon is a financial advisor and works closely with business owners, successful professionals, and retirees to guide them through a wide range of financial decisions. His focus is on helping basketball coaches and professional athletes, so naturally, a portion of the episode is surrounding basketball. As you may know, our very own Eric Quillman played in college and for Coach Tom Izzo at Michigan State. But if you're not a fan of the sport, don't worry. These two cover a lot in this interview. So here we go. Enjoy today's episode of the Super You Podcast with Brandon Fink.
Calling in from Boston, we have Brandon Fink. Thank you for joining us today, Brandon.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show, Brandon. Calling in from Boston. I actually lived there for many years. Both my daughters were born in Boston. Pac the Ka, Wicked. And they were super confused. Super young, we moved to Austin. They kept saying that they were born in Boston, Texas, because Boston and Austin are so close. So anyways, thanks for calling in. It's awesome having you here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess they were saying Austin from an early age.
Well said. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Now they're saying y'all. So they're converted.
They've converted over.
No, thanks for calling in. And just wanted to start things right away with anything top of mind, anything, any questions you have. If you have a question, then the rest of the audience has the same question.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, before we get into that, just a little context. Like, what are you doing? You're living in Boston. Like, what are you doing? Any context, though, before the questions, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate it. So I run a wealth management practice in Boston, Massachusetts, work with a lot of great people, entrepreneurs, folks in the professional basketball realm, and just families throughout the country helping grow and preserve their wealth.
Well, we're in the NBA playoffs right now, so that's awesome. So you're working with some families, you said, that are in professional basketball?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've before getting into wealth management, and I was had a huge passion for basketball. Didn't quite make it to the D1 level at MSU like you did, but had a lot of fun playing and just loved the game. So started combining my passion for the game of basketball with wealth management, and just been good fun ever since. And really love working with these great people.
No, that's great. No, I love it. It's so good. Now, you probably can't disclose names, but are any of the people that you work with currently in the playoffs?
No. Okay. It's at this point, a lot of teams are knocked out. Boston had a quick exit to a very good Brooklyn Nets team. So I'm having fun watching, though. It's the second round right now, and it's competitive. It's interesting. It's the first in quite some time that we're not seeing Steph Curry and LeBron get to see some new faces in the NBA Finals. Make some room for some new teams. I think it's an exciting time for the league.
No, for sure. And speaking of new times, obviously we're kind of wrestling with this pandemic. Hopefully we're coming through. We're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And thanks for calling in. We'll try to tackle any questions that you might have, because if you have them with what you do, then probably other people that are listening also have them. We'll start a dialogue and
yeah.
we'll flip the script on you and ask you some questions as well.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So naturally, Eric, I got to hear a little bit about your time on the MSU team playing for the great Tom Izzo. And, you know, one of the questions that I had, you know, I was a had a lot of passion for the game of basketball, but unfortunately, my talent didn't agree. So I spent a lot of time watching my high school games from the 12th position on the bench. And curious what you felt like you learned playing, but also getting the best seat in the house watching Michigan State basketball for those couple of years.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I was just trying to think when you started talking about it, I just started to hear Coach Izzo on the track kind of yelling. We had to run around the track before the season started. You had to make a certain time. So if you were, there's two groups, there's the guards and then there's also the big men.
Sure.
Technically in the big man group, it's 6'7" on a sunny day, 6'6" when it's cloudy, which was good because the big man time, you had to run under 5:45 mile.
And then still pretty tough.
5:30. Now I ran, I don't know why, but someone suggested I run cross country in high school and I was not a good runner.
Yeah.
So, like I'd never run below a 6 minute mile. So there's little nuances to this specific story, but that taught me because I wound up running a 5:26. Haven't even come close. I don't think I've ever run sub 6 minutes.
I've never gotten a 5:26. That's impressive.
From that day. And so I'm not a gifted runner, but what it was, and that's why Tom Izzo's in the Hall of Fame. I can still hear him like that third lap's the worst because you're kind of hitting the wall.
Yeah.
And he's like just so passionate. He's just trying to push you to be the best. And he's just, I'm the walk-on that got then a scholarship. So like there's 13 guys on the team. I'm either 11th, 12th or 13th best player. But he was so passionate about making sure I was the best 11th or 12th or 13th player.
Yeah.
He's just yelling, you're not tired. You only think you're tired.
Yeah.
And he's right. So sometimes when we all do this, like I've had even this week, like tough days where I'm like, what am I doing? And just, you could always kind of go back to that. So whether it's music, whether it's sports or whether it's a tough time that you're going through is that you can always leverage that in the future. So that's why Tom Izzo's in the Hall of Fame. And
it is.
I think I could probably run like a sub, maybe 9 minute mile now.
I'll be right there with you, man. And you know, you could just picture Tom Izzo yelling at you in the background.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because another 12th man, Matt Ishbia. So he played in the championship team. So he has a walk on. I don't even know if I got a scholarship. I'll have to look it up. So Matt, fascinating story. They won the national title in 2000.
Yeah.
This year, his company went public, and he's one of the richest men in the world. So he's way richer than LeBron James. And so always look out for those walk-ons. You know, they're the ones that are going to grind it, and that's really where the success comes from is that grinding. So go ahead and check out Matt Ishbia as well.
You know, it's interesting because I mentor a lot of college basketball players. And one of the things I talk to them, Eric, is reach out to the other alumni because, you know, some of these guys that graduated but played on the team 10, 15, 20 or more years ago, they're just crushing it. You know, whether it be the 12th man or, you know, wherever they sat on the bench, you know, a lot of these people, what they can do for your careers and what they became after they stopped playing ball is remarkable. So it that's interesting though. You know, I'll have to, if I talk to any guys from MSU, I'll have to encourage them to reach out.
Yeah, do it, do it. You're spot on. I mean, it's funny because so Magic Johnson, when I was playing, he's like two decades before I am. So he's graduated 79, but he was the MVP of the league, contracts HIV. So basically mid season, people might recall this, he has to kind of retire from basketball.
Yep.
But he still wants to keep in shape. He still wants to play. He doesn't know if he's able to come back the next year. The disease was so new, no one knew what was happening. But basically, immediately he's got to stop playing for the Lakers. But where he can play is against us because he went to Michigan State. So against us, meaning the current team, practice against us.
Wow.
So every day we're practicing against the current MVP of the league. He walks in, I'm like, whoa, dude, that guy's like a point guard. He's like bigger than our center, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I brought that up because his post career, he's one of the top five players of all time. And his post career is almost as successful as his career, like building the empire he's built from the Starbucks, from the movie theaters, just as a businessman. So he's a great person to look to too, as like what you can do post career with Magic Johnson. But it's funny because a lot of times in the summer, because if you lose, you got to sit out, and Magic would usually play like with his agent, some friends from the local area, which they weren't very good, but he's amazing, right? So they'd usually win. But since he's playing, surround himself with these not like friends, not very good, occasionally our team was going to beat him. But if that was ever going to happen, he would just be like, you'd be like 10 feet away from him. He'd be like, ball, you fouled me. Like, I didn't come here to sit down. And I'm like, Magic, I'm going to play the whole time I'm here. So it's great.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. You got to play against him in his prime, too, while he was still playing. Unbelievable. You know, obviously, we all see you with the glasses. You're, you know, a little bit, dare I say, wacky out there in the marketing world. But I think it's worked for you in the sense that you've got that niche. So when did you decide to go all in on the niche that you have and just kind of say, screw it, this is who I am, and this is how I present myself, and you know, this is how we do business over here?
Yeah, I mean, it took a while to go all in. And even to this day, sometimes my wife will pause, or we're going to meet some new friends or someone she wants to impress, and she's like, are you really wearing the glasses? And so you gotta go all in. And I talk about stepping into discomfort. So it's really about to really truly be yourself. You got to continue to walk in discomfort in the short term. Then long term is the most comfortable place you can be, is being yourself. So a lot of us don't fully step into being ourselves because it is very, very uncomfortable in the short term. And that short term can be many, many years. And so it's really about embracing that, because by being your true self, it not only leads to the most happiness for you, but it also leads to happiness for those around you. And so you have the name like Equal Man. So first initial, last name forms Equal Man. And then the glasses, I won't retell the story because a lot of the audience knows it. You can listen to a lot of podcasts where I've
heard
the story. But yeah, I mean, just step in your story. Be 100% yourself. The beautiful thing about this pandemic is I think it's humanized us. It's kind of crazy when you think about everyone having to work virtually and digitally. But I think it's made us all more human, to where, of course, some kid's screaming during the middle of a meeting, or someone's walking behind you when they shouldn't be, or the guy fires up the lawnmower, whatever it might be, is that it just taught a lot of us that, you know, at the end of the day, we're all wrestling with the same things. We're all in the same movie. We're just different actors and actresses. And so maybe we can give each other a little bit of a break and give others a break. Like, okay, that's a little different, but I like that about that person. They are different. So that's good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, literally, we got to peer into everyone's living room over the past year. You know, we hear the kids in the background, the dogs barking. We've all had to and been able to connect in ways we never thought we could. And I've even found myself, you know, I've gotten to know my clients deeper during the pandemic. Even though we weren't actually face to face, it's just, we bonded during those difficult times. So, you know, I think there's a lot of good we can take from it.
No, for sure. And, all right, we got time for two more questions, and I'll flip it for some lightning questions back to you.
Sure. Absolutely. So most underrated part about living in Austin.
It's still the community. So a lot of people are moving here because there's no taxes, income taxes for Texas. They're moving here because it's pretty good weather. It gets blazingly hot for 3 months, but it's only 3 months. But it's community. So, and we'll see how, if we're able to keep that as it's the hyper growth continues. But I think that's the most underrated piece. I'm starting to hear more honks of horns. Reminded me of Boston, right? Get going. What are you doing? But it's really about community first is the underrated piece. I think that's what people really identify and go, wow, everyone's pretty nice here, trying to look out for everybody else.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Favorite basketball player of all time?
Gonna go Magic, just because he makes everyone else around him better. And obviously that's a biased answer, but gonna go Magic. I think one of the most underrated players is still probably Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think people forget, just if you have to change a rule because of how dominant you are, I mean, you can't dunk anymore.
Yeah.
Well, Cinder, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, quite amazing. This is, people get, I think people are seeing it more, but I think you've got to argue that LeBron, I'd make the argument LeBron's better than Jordan, but I mean, you win with three different teams. That's crazy. But yeah, we'll stop it there. I could go on forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with you on Kareem. You know, unfortunately, as time goes on, you get more and more people that have never seen him play. Sure. And, you know, one of the nice things about the pandemic, if you caught it, I don't know if you have NBA TV, but when the season was postponed last year, they started replaying these old games. And I was watching the 1970 finals game between the Knicks and the Lakers. And all these guys I've heard about, I had a chance to watch on TV. You know, I was watching, you know, Bill Russell, you know, I was seeing the Lakers in the 80s. So it was fun to watch these teams that I had only heard about, like, you know, folklores. But, you know, sadly, these great players, you know, you hear about them, but, you know, generations won't get the chance to see them play the way that other people did.
Yeah. Who's your favorite?
I'm an MJ guy. And
so walking into
and a Kobe guy, you know, I grew up watching Kobe. You know, I loved MJ's approach to the game. Air Jordans are the only sneakers I'll wear. You know, I'm just through and through a Jordan fan. It's a big Iverson guy too, growing up. So I grew up in the era. I watched a lot of Iverson and Kobe. Those are my guys.
I love it. Well, you like this. This is a good Jordan story. So the Bulls were practicing at the Breslin Center, which is where Michigan State plays. And so we had gotten done with practice. There's an equipment room that's all cement except for a cutout where the equipment manager kind of can poke their head out. And my teammate and I are in the equipment room by the basketballs, and we're just talking. Obviously, we're Pistons fans growing up in the Detroit area. We can't stand Jordan because we're Pistons fans.
Sure.
And so we're like bashing Jordan, like, oh man, he acts like he's hurt on defense when Dumars is going by him or Thomas is going by him, but all of a sudden he's okay on the offensive end. Little do we know that Jordan himself is standing on the other side of this wall. He can hear us, but we can't see him. And then sure enough, all of a sudden he pokes his head in and he's like, hey, are those the NBA balls or are those just the little college balls that you guys play with? He starts laughing and just keeps walking on. So it's kind of funny. I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, that was crazy.
That's an unbelievable story. My God, what are the odds? That's incredible.
Yeah, he was definitely, I'm like, man, that guy's legit 6'6". Because sometimes they like list you a little higher than you are in the NBA, like a little taller.
Yep.
And I'm like, that guy is just cut. Like his like waist is so thin. And because you see him on TV, you don't realize just how big the guy is. So,
no, of course not.
Yeah. All right, one more. I got one more and then I'll flip it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me an unexpected key to focusing that you learned during your focus project.
The biggest key for me is focus is really, 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 really hard. So I did this 1,000-day project, failed miserably for basically the first year and a half. So that's no insight for anyone that's wrestling with focus. The focus is hard, duh. But what I learned is that focus can be learned. It can become a habit. And so you've got to stay with the process, understanding that today you might not be able to do it. For some reason, you got off focus, just in your DNA to get off focused and to kind of give yourself a break and just make sure you're trying to get 1% better each and every day. So I said, all right, we're not going to strive for perfection with a lot of us, especially in the Western world, the United States. That's how we set ourselves up for failure. Mm-hmm. Is we're trying to be perfect from the get-go. When rather just going, I just need to get 1% better. So that progress
Each
and every day. And there's a lot of ways you can do it, but the most helpful for me and the one I can give to you in a soundbite is just write down what's the most important thing you need to do the next day. That'll make you sleep better. Also, you're ahead of the game because now what you know what your intention and focus should be. And then within the first hour of naturally waking up, just attack that before the day attacks you. Again, not anything earth-shattering, but earth-shattering when you do it on the results that you'll get. And I still slip and don't do that every day. I'm telling you, like, this is the key to success.
Yeah.
There's days this week. There's a couple days this week I didn't do that. And so here I am telling you just how hard it is. But just if you can stay that course, I'm almost preaching myself, then you can make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're intentional about what really matters, you know, what are those one or two or three things that if you could only do two or three things, what would you do? And if you don't have that written down and you're not clear about it, the day kind of takes you wherever it takes you. You know, you end up being more reactive throughout the day. So I'm with you, man. And yeah, I love the idea of getting 1% better every day.
No, I love it. I love it. Now we're going to flip it on you just to reset. We got Brandon calling in from Boston. He helps with, he runs a wealth management team. And then they work closely with a lot of professional basketball players. And so now I'm going to ask a couple of quick questions for you, Brandon. What's the best advice you've ever been given and by whom?
So I'm going to go with a Mark Cuban quote. I've actually never met Mark Cuban, but one of the books that he wrote, he, you know, talked a little bit about success, and he broke it down in terms of basketball, in the sense that, you know, when you think about a basketball player, we think about field goal percentage, right? You know, players shot 1 of 10 from the floor or 2 of 11. And you might say, gee, you know, percentage wise, that's not very good. They had a bad game, but it's very different in the world of business, because you could go 1 of 10, 2 of 15, but all people really care about are the two makes that you've had. So in the world of business, unlike basketball, which I had to learn being a former player, take shots, take chances, go for it. And you only have to be right once or twice.
No, I love it. It's great advice. And it's funny. It also relates to the world of dating. If you want me to ask this guy out or this girl out, they say no. It's like, okay, that wasn't meant to be. Now I'm going to move on to the next person. And the same is true in business. It's just, you're exactly right. It's not like basketball or baseball where you're looking at the average. It's like, did you get a home run? Did you get a hit? So it's a, how many plate appearances can you have? How many shots can you put up there? So that's awesome. I love it. Excluding my books, what's your favorite book or podcast, or both? You can answer both that you feel our listeners should know.
I'll do a couple plugs to some people that I know that have awesome podcasts. Obviously I do like yours, Eric. Gentlemen, I know Arlen Moore, the Mindset Design podcast with Arlen Moore, all about being the best version of yourself personally, professionally, building a great social network. The Pivot and Go podcast with a guy by the name of David Nurse out of California has some great guests talking about success. And, you know, he's doing a lot of great things around mindset and in the basketball world. And, you know, being the finance nerd that I am, I'm going to have to say Masters in Business with Barry Ritholtz. He has some amazing investment gurus on every week. And, you know, you really get a sense of how some of the brightest minds in investments think about the world and finance.
I love it. I love it. And then it's got Arlen Moore, Pivot and Go with David Nurse, and then Masters in Business. I don't know if you're allowed to comment on this because of the position you're in, but what are people not seeing about blockchain and crypto? And you might say, no, I don't punt on that because
I think it's a great question. I would say two things. The first of which, and this is just my personal belief, you know, don't put any money on it. But I think that, you know, when we look at a lot of the new cryptocurrencies coming into the arena, you know, I certainly think there's a real place for cryptocurrencies in the future, but not every cryptocurrency that comes into play is going to be around in a year, 5 years, 10 years. I kind of compare it to the internet bubble of the late 90s, where the principle backing a lot of these companies, which is software, the internet, is sound, but a lot of companies are not going to survive. And it's the same thing with a lot of these cryptocurrencies. The second, I would say, is the irony of blockchain technology. You know, some of these cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, at times has gotten a bad rap for, you know, you hear things like, oh, people's Bitcoin getting hacked and, you know, people losing their crypto wallet passwords and this and that. But ironically, The blockchain technology actually has some real potential as far as protecting our data and protecting a lot of valuables, you know, whether it be our social security cards, birth certificates, private information. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what innovation turns blockchain into as far as the applicabilities, but certainly there's a lot of ways it can actually help when it comes to protecting our identity.
No, no. Well said. Well said. Yeah. It's funny because it's so nascent or so new. The technology is that most people that are buying, say, Bitcoin or Ethereum, let's say they use Coinbase, one of the popular apps out there, Binance, Coinbase, whatever.
Yeah.
Is you're actually, even though the blockchain's decentralized, you're actually going through a centralized entity to get that investment, meaning that my Coinbase account gets hacked, they can get into the Bitcoin and the Ethereum that I own because it's not sitting on the blockchain, which can't be hacked. So we're just at chapter one. So I love how you said that. That's so true. And again, we're not advising financial advice here on this show. So we're just giving you our opinion on just the general market.
As yeah, of course. Of course. Yep. Same here.
All right, cool. And then what's your favorite Super U episode?
I was loving the Tom Brady one. And it's not, ironically, because I'm in the Boston area. Actually, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, grew up in Buffalo. But I do have a lot of respect for Tom Brady. Love the idea of him being a bit of a late bloomer and just how he stuck to it. I think it's applicable to business, to life. And, you know, Tom Brady wasn't on anyone's radar screen in high school or in college, definitely. And, you know, from a business standpoint, regardless of what you've done in the past, it just, you know, the game of business is so long for how long you can be involved in it that you always have a future ahead of you, an opportunity. So I've always taken inspiration from Tom Brady and tried to apply it to other areas of life. So much as I love my Bills, I got a lot of respect for Tom Brady and love the Tom Brady Tips podcast.
Great. No, it's fantastic. Yeah, it was one of my favorites because he is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. It's not even arguable, I don't think, at this point. And the guy could barely start at the University of Michigan, our arch rival.
Yeah.
So Drew Henson was signed, who went on and played at the Yankees. So Drew Henson, the guy with all the talent, quote unquote talent, the speed, the strength. But it's really that grit, that perseverance of Tom seeing it through and becoming the greatest of all time. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out with Belichick on his legacy. Obviously, yeah, that's a lot more to be played out. And it's unfair to Bill that Tom won in Tampa because then you have all these Yahoos saying that Belichick had nothing to do with it. Obviously, sure, it's both of them. But hopefully they do well, those Pats this year, to take some heat off of Belichick. But anyways, we could talk forever here. I love that you called in. Thanks for all the support and thanks for calling in here today. We always like to wrap things up with a fun fact. Anything fun about you? Because it's crazy. The more people that we meet, everyone's a superhero, right? And so everyone right, always has like that fun fact. It's like, oh man, that's pretty cool. So just, we're going to let you open up with that fun fact.
I'd say the one thing that people are surprised if they're lucky enough to get to learn about me and not everyone has is, In high school, I had 3 rap albums. Okay. And, you know, I guess fortunately for me, this was a little bit before everything was on the internet. So it's not out there in the public. But if you wanted to go scrounging around my mom's basement and dig up some old boxes, you might find 3 CDs that I came out with that have me rapping on them for about 20 songs.
What's the handle? Like, did you have a rap handle?
I kept switching it up. I think I went by Brandon Paul, which is my, first name and, middle name. You know, I never had anything that, really got off the ground. I think of Brandon Paul I went by.
Okay. That's cool. I love it. I was just in New York this week, actually. You might know, do you ever hear of Jesse Itzler?
Oh, of course. Yeah. The Atlanta Hawks owner, yes. Incredible guy.
Yeah. Hawks owner, did Net Jets, married to Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, but he started his career rapping and famously was a Knicks fan. So he actually made this Go Knicks Go kind of song.
I remember that song. Yeah.
When they had Patrick Ewing. And so that was where he took off. So crazy, crazy how the world works. All these orbits colliding, but I'm glad our orbits collided here today. Brandon, thank you for calling in. I miss Boston a ton. So tell everyone
come up visit
there,
us.
Said hello, miss the city and have a wicked, wicked ass day, as they say up there.
All right. And I'll go see y'all later.
Okay. So see all y'all later. Okay. Awesome.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
All right, have a good one. So thanks again for listening to today's Super U podcast. Again, it's a podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. And if you want to pay it forward, make sure you go post a review for the Super U podcast, because what that will do, it'll allow others that aren't familiar with our podcast to discover it. And hopefully that allows them to unlock and unleash their inner superpower. So that's it for today's show. I'm your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Super, 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 super you.